from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, I thought it was better this time out. I thought the sinker was working. I thought the changeup was better this time. Looked a little bit more comfortable. Like I said, we made a couple mistakes behind him. Is that his line could have been better? And we got to catch the ball a little better for him, especially sinker ball type guys. But I thought he really competed and got through five for us.
Definitely thought we had a really good plan in place tonight. Got my feet underneath me. Really got my routine back in order. And didn't go for me really well the first couple innings, but we settled down and got it done.
A huge hit when we needed it. Didn't feel like things were going our way there, especially early. Made some mistakes defensively. You know, Santander with a huge hit to start the game, but then we added on from there. So that was a big win.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. My guy Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Total Request Thursday. Send all your favorite songs from your favorite artists and bands to the text line. Quick Draw will handle it from there. Also, send in your votes for Feature Artist Friday, and we'll reveal the winner at the end of today's show. Orioles, they win 7-3 in game two out in Toronto. Nice bounce back win for the Orioles. Bounce back in a variety of ways if you really look at it. And we could start with the pitching. Trevor Rogers, total difference from last night's game compared to his first outing, his debut as an Oriole. Five innings pitched, seven hits given up, three runs, only two of them earned, two walks, two strikeouts last night, 94 pitches. I thought Rogers played really well, and honestly, and Hyde said it, had it not been for a couple of defensive blunders, his line would have looked better, and maybe he even goes deeper. You asked me yesterday what I'm looking for from Rogers. I said six innings, three earned runs. He gave me five and two earned runs. I'll take that.
Yeah, I thought he pitched pretty well, and like you said, the mail, mm-hmm. the bad hop,
yeah,
hurt him. The throw hurt him. And then if if Holiday was an inch taller,
yeah,
he makes that catch. You know, that would have been nice. But I thought, you know, watching that game, Cordell, I thought that Santander saved the game.
Oh, no doubt.
I thought that totally changed the game because it was tight then, and that would have tied the game right there. But yeah, that was a hell of a play by Santander, and you know, the guy they pinch hit for, he crushed another home run.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson is on fire. I mean, and that was a no doubter. His swing is very fluid. The two run shot that he hit last night, now becomes the youngest player to hit three consecutive home runs in the American League. I mean, this dude is on fire.
The shot that he hit to right, Cordell, because I was driving to pick up my daughter and I was listening on the radio. He drilled that one too. Mm-hmm. The one that they.
Oh, that was a no doubter. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was no doubt.
No, the one he caught.
Oh, the one he caught. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the second at bat.
Right.
When he ripped it. And I didn't see it. I was driving. I heard it. But sounded
that was
like,
more, yeah. That was a hot one off the bat too. That was one that he got quite a bit.
Well,
of.
most of his at bats that he's had since he's been here are all been over 95 exit velocity.
He looks really comfortable right now, and he's on that fastball. He is on time. The home run, he was sitting fastball. I think they called it on the broadcast. He was waiting for that, and you just see the difference in him. He has a better understanding of the strike zone. Honestly, and we saw a little bit of it last night, I thought in his first stint up here, the umpires weren't doing him any favors with some of the strike calls that they were calling. And last night, that ended up being the case again. The strike zone was pretty bad last night.
Pretty
high
big.
Gets tossed.
Yeah.
You got Corbin Burns on TV. The camera's catching him, yelling at the umpire, telling him it's effing high.
Yeah.
You know, it was crazy, and that was probably the calmest ejection I've seen for a manager in general. But Hyde said it after the game. You know, he had known that umpire for a while, so he didn't want to be disrespectful, and you can read his lips as he's arguing with him. He's like, look, I'm not trying to be an a-hole. I'm just telling you it's high. These are not strikes. They're not strikes. So
why'd he toss him?
I mean, the whole dugout, I think, was yelling at him for a while. You know what I mean? Like I said, we saw Burns doing it, and a couple of the players were upset after their strikeouts. Some of them had some things to say, and rightfully so. I mean, how long can you allow that to go on?
Yeah. O'Hearn's usually the one that gets hosed the most, mm-hmm. It seems like, lately.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a part of that. But you mentioned Anthony Santander, the two home runs for him last night.
Yep.
He gets
one
the game
lefty,
started.
One righty.
Yeah, I mean, he's just playing out of his mind right now. Honestly, he's playing out of his mind. He's now up to 34 home runs on the year. And you talk about a guy that right now is in a contract year. He's 29 years old, and this is kind of uncharted territory for this, you know, this stint, this version of the Orioles to be talking about extending guys, continuing to allowing guys to stay on this team and get an extra contract. And right now, I mean, granted, Santander has been really good for them for a while now. We can go back the last few seasons, mm-hmm. to him not only being good for them, but continuously, I think, getting better. I think his defense has improved throughout his career. His at-bats have become way more consistent. And now, without a doubt, he's the best switch-hitting power bat in baseball, in my mind. I can't. There's nobody that comes to mind right off the bat for me in terms of a switch-hitting power bat. I would like them to do almost whatever it takes to keep Anthony Santander in Baltimore.
Yeah, if he was 27,
it'd be a no-brainer.
Well, he'd be making, you know, I mean, if he's going to get, Norm, what do you think he gets, 25 a year?
I mean, that's probably a conversation starter, I would think. I mean, how could you not value him?
The only negative is his age. You know, how the length of the contract. You know, because if what's he going to want? He's going to want five, probably, I would imagine. This is his first big deal.
I mean, he's also a player that just keeps getting better with age. I mean, right now you could argue he's 30 years old. He's playing the best baseball of his career. So he's been a guy that it took him a while to get going with the Rule 5 status. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he becomes more of a complete player every year. Mm-hmm. Father Time always wins. But if I'm a team looking for a free agent power bat, the switch hitting ability like you talk about. And for me, the reason why I all back in on keeping him at this point is the defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, especially when you look at the rest of the team, how shaky the defense is. How about we lock up a sure thing? You know, I'll take the 30 home runs guaranteed, and I'll also take the solid defense.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, everything about Anthony Santander's game has improved with time. And his defense is one that I didn't, honestly, if you had told me, what, 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, that he'd be one of their better defensive outfielders, mm-hmm. It'd be tough for me to believe it at that time. Because I remember back when they used to take him out and have McKenna come in as a defensive replacement. So those days are long gone.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you, both you guys, this question. Burns or Santander? Because I'm guessing if you sign Burns, you're not going to be able to sign Santander, too. Because that's going to be buku bucks. So who would you prefer?
Well, their payroll is still so low. I mean, I don't know what their budget is, but their payroll is low enough to where if it's two quality players like this, I wouldn't be upset at it. Now, I understand you can't pay everybody. You can't pay everybody. If it's me, I don't know, man. I'm probably going with Burns considering what's happening right now injury-wise with their rotation and the uncertainty with a lot of these guys. But I would definitely try to still get Santander.
All right, the other question I got is all right, if because you got to look at like a three-year plan. You just can't play it year to year. Who else is coming up over the next 3 years? Mm-hmm. Because if you pay Burns, you know, that affects, you know, your payroll for the next 3 or 4 years. So who's coming, who's going to be a free agent within the next 3 years?
Right. Well, pitching-wise, it's always changing. I feel like guys are always on short deals at this point. You could ask that same question, but who's getting promoted within the organization? Mm-hmm. And that would factor into the Santander decision. And that's where I was personally. That's where I was at earlier in the year, is that I was all in on the youth movement. Let's just elevate these guys, stop blocking them, give them a chance to play, and then you can move on from your core veteran outfielders and save some money in the process. But again, with what Santander keeps doing, how can you say no thanks at this point? I mean, he's the best bat in the lineup and the defense. Yeah. Keep harping on the defense.
See, I would say this, Norm. You're talking basically a similar situation that the San Francisco 49ers are in right now with Ayuk. Ayuk, to me, is Santander. You know, great player, plays great for them, but I got my quarterback I got to probably pay next year. So what do I do? You know, I'd love to have him because he's a great player. Just like, yeah, I'd love to have Santander, but, you know, you only have so much money. And that's the thing that Elias has got to deal with. I mean, he's got a puzzle that he's got to put together. And financially, we don't know what the limits are on what the new ownership, what Rubenstein is allowing them to spend. So, I mean, there's so many things up in the air. Yeah, everybody, well, we want Santander, we want Burns. I mean, the Niners, they want Purdy, they want Ayuk, they want a new deal for Trent Williams. You know, you can't do it all.
And I would also say with Santander, Nolan talked about the youth movement, and it'd be great for guys like Kerstad in the future to not have to be yo-yo the way that he has been and stuff like that. But with a team like this that has shown that they want to play the splits and platoon guys the most, having a switch hitter that you don't have to worry about taking out of the lineup at any point, and his defense is good enough for him to play in right field every day, that's an added bonus as well. Because if he's gone and then Kerstad ends up taking his spot, who's to say that they're still not going to try to switch it up, righty versus lefty, even, you know, after Santander is gone? So the luxury of having just a guy that you don't have to worry about taking in and out of the lineup is something that shouldn't be overlooked, I would say, as well. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll keep it going with the Orioles talk. Jackson Holliday, another home run for him last night, answers back despite being pinch hit for the night before late in the game. Can he stay hot? We'll talk about it next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Here on the Fan. Right here on the Fan. We'll have head coach of Maryland football, Mike Locksley, joining us at 12:30. Later on this afternoon, so you don't want to miss that. The audio you just heard is from Orioles GM Mike Elias. He was on with Inside Access yesterday. We'll play you some of that audio later on as well. But there he is talking about Jackson Holliday, who went yard again yesterday for the third straight game. And he has been completely different in his second stint up here.
Different guy.
At the majors. Looks more comfortable. Looks like he has a better understanding of how pitchers are attacking him. Has a better understanding of the strike zone. I know he missed that kind of line drive yesterday that I thought was a tough play. And maybe with more comfortability, he makes that play down the line. But all in all, it's tough for me to have many gripes with what he's doing. He's got three multi-hit games already since he's been back up here, and like I said, a homer in three straight of them.
Now, what did the thing that impressed me the most, other than the homer, Cordell, was that slow roller that he got, and he really had to whip that ball over first base.
Yeah,
so he showed some
and honestly, that play should have been challenged.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know why they didn't challenge it. You know, I think Snyder, the manager for Toronto, I think his guy told him don't.
Yeah.
Because then I think he saw it because
then
they showed
shaking
him.
His head.
Yeah. He's like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that was a
but
tough
it was a
play.
Hell of a throw.
It was. I mean, and
so if his arm, if the elbow looked good to me on that play.
Yeah. No, I'm really excited for the growth of Jackson Holliday, and he's clearly been a part of this group of guys that has given this team a spark here over the last week or so. I mean, it's been kind of the youth movement featuring Anthony Santander. It's like Santander and the young guys right now. Santander has been as hot as anybody, and we talked a lot about him in the open segment, but you look at it, Kowser, I know he struggled again last night, but Gunner seems to be waking up a lot here recently, and you got Adley as well, and obviously Jackson Holliday, and hopefully Mayo, you know, will be able to pick it up here soon.
He hit that one nice line shot. I felt bad for him. I thought that was going to be his first hit last night.
Yeah, I mean, he's still searching for that, and I just think he's still trying to get comfortable. You look at him defensively, he looks a little uneasy at times. And I think at the plate, he's still just trying to find his rhythm.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, if you're a young guy and you're struggling at the plate and all that, I'm sure it's going to carry over. Because, I mean, if you just strike out and you're 0 for 11 or 12, whatever it is, and you're out at third base, you don't think you're thinking about your at-bats and stuff. So, yeah, right now it's a tough deal for Mayo, and he's a hell of a player, and he'll come out of that.
Nolan, what are you saying from Jackson Holliday right now, especially compared to the first time we got to see him?
Well, it's like a completely different player. I mean, it's not even close. Just the approach at the plate, the defense, the confidence. Brandon Hyde mentioned that is kind of the key thing for him, that all of a sudden you get a couple swings that go your way, start building some momentum, and look out. I mean, I didn't think that he would get off to this kind of a hot start. I mean, I could tell just really from that first game back that he looked more comfortable. But to be on this kind of power surge, he's not a slap hitter or anything. He has some power in that bat.
Mm-hmm.
But is he a guy at age 20 with his frame and the way he looks? Does he strike you right now as a power hitter in this league? By no means, no. So three games in a row with a home run, American League history, they said last night. That's crazy. I mean, I don't know if he's going to keep it up in the power department, but he's been fantastic just with his approach.
Hey, Cordell, have you seen him in the locker room? Because he looks like he's got some thighs on him.
I mean, I haven't necessarily looked at his thighs, but he's fit. I mean, you know, he's
Cordell. You're scouting. You got to scout, man. The first thing you do is you got to check out their bodies. Yeah, being a scout.
Yeah, I mean, look. In all honesty, a lot of the times,
if you were walking down the street and you say, "Hey, that guy's got nice legs," that'd be different. Yeah.
All right. So there's a realm to keep it in. But no, he's got some arms for sure, and he's fluid in his swing. He's very precise in his movement. They talk about no wasted body movement in your swings and stuff. That's him. I mean, if you look at the home run last night and really look at all of the home runs that he's hit over the last 3 days, his swing looks almost identical. If you go look at all three of those replays, it's just swift, quick, no wasted movement. The bat just quickly gets to the ball, and it's no doubters, each one of them.
Yeah.
Each one of them have been no doubters.
He's standing admired.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was kind of the thing about him coming out was he's a pure hitter. Him and his family, you know, that's all they do is get in the box and have home run hitting contests with each other and stuff like that. And I think it's starting to kind of feel like, I'm back home, you know. I'm just in the box doing what I do. Especially when because he had a problem with some of those fastballs in his first inning. He wasn't able to catch up with that, and I think it's been something with his time and that he has obviously worked on. That toe tap looks like it's still there, but maybe it's not, you know, as exaggerated as it was in his first inning.
Well, they were showing on TV yesterday that his swing length, I think it was. Was when he was here, it was 6'1" or 7'3", and now it's 6'8". So it's a lot, the swing is a lot shorter and quicker.
I just like that he's committing to a decision at the plate. You know, case in point with the home run at bat, he falls behind 0-2 quickly. You know, if he whiffs at that third ball and misses, okay, you strike out, it's disappointing.
Right.
But he was sitting on a fastball, like you said, Cordell, and he didn't hesitate. And maybe in his first stint, he'd be second-guessing himself at the plate. Oh, I think this is going to be fastball, but I'm not really sure. And he'd be on his heels and probably whiff because he was too late on it. From this at-bat, he was dead set on fastball, and the result is a no-doubter.
Yeah, he's to the point now, especially with as hot as he is today, you can't throw a mistake pitch at him because he's not letting it get by him. He's not letting him get by him. These days, 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in, talk some Orioles baseball. Orioles pick up the win last night out in Toronto in game two of that series. Looking to take the series as a whole tonight. Surprise, it's not a day game with it being a getaway day, but they'll be on tonight. Of course, Baltimore baseball tonight gets underway at 6:00 with Tim Barbalace and Jim Hunter right here on The Fan. Mike Elias, he was on with the Inside Access yesterday, so we'll play you some of that audio next, as well as along with taking some of your calls. That's next here on The Fan. Quick note, we do have head coach of Maryland football, Mike Locksley, joining us at 12:30 later on in today's show. You don't want to miss that. At 11:00, we'll talk some Orioles baseball with Tony Pente from Orioles Hangout as well. But right now, we're talking to you, 410-583-1057. Let's go to Harry and Owens Mills. Harry, you're on The Fan.
Good morning, Cordell, Vinny, and Nolan. Thank you for taking my call.
For sure.
I hate to beat a dead horse, but let me start by saying this. I really like Brandon Hyde. I do not want to see Brandon Hyde removed as the Orioles manager. Now, I think it's only natural to want the manager who went through such a tumultuous rebuild to benefit from the fruits of his labor, and turn culminating from really bad to a World Series championship. Now, with that said, I'm really concerned about his decision-making, though, because now we've talked about it before, so going back to the last game against Miami and the top and the bottom of the ninth, he made bad decisions. A game on Tuesday night, he made a plethora of bad decisions, and again, he made bad decisions last night. Now, Everyone is praising Santander for the catch and right, and rightly so, because it was a phenomenal catch. But the right managerial play there, for with first base open and a volcano hot,
yep,
Vlad Guerrero Jr. is to walk him. The other mistake that he made, okay, in the eighth inning, Orioles are up 7-3. To me, it is not important that you have Mullins pinch run up 7-3, because it's more, I get it if you're trailing, tied, or only up by one run, you're trying to get an insurance run. But to me, up by four runs, what's more important, that you put Mullins in center field, move Colton Cowles to the left, because in my opinion, that ball that went to left field that Slater was closer to did not catch. Colton Cowles, in my opinion, catches that ball. Now, all of these decisions, in my opinion, are managerial 101 decisions that are easy to make. What do you do when you have to make a more difficult decision when there are arguments on both sides? And I'll give you an example. Let's say it's a playoff game. The Orioles are at home. Santander is at third base. There's one out. Gunnar Henderson is at the bat. Does he pinch run with Jorge Mateo and putting the team in a situation where if they don't score, Santander is out the rest of the game, or does he leave Santander on third base and hope that Gunnar Henderson can hit a ball at least deep enough so a sports sack fly?
What inning did you say?
No, I'm bottom of the ninth.
Bottom of the ninth.
So what does one do in that situation? And I want to say this other thing real quick. Vinny, get out of my head. You stole my question. I was going to ask the same thing. What do you do if you're looking at Santander or you're looking at Corbin Burns? In my opinion, because what Santander gives, plus you have to go with the player that plays. I'd love to have both, but to me you have to go with the player that plays every day compared to a pitcher who only pitches once every fifth day.
Hey, appreciate the call, Harry. And yeah, I mean, a lot there to unpack. I mean, Brandon Hyde and his decision making at times, for sure. We talked a lot about that yesterday, and I hear him, you know, on Mullins being more beneficial late in that situation as a defender, as opposed to just wasting them taking over the DH and being a pinch runner. Yeah, I mean, that every now and then Hyde is not absolved of a bad decision, for sure. And then depending on who you ask, he maybe does it a lot more than what other people may see. That's just a part of being a manager. And like you said, I want to see Hyde finish this thing out. That'd be great, but it doesn't always go that way. Yeah. And I think where the Orioles finish this year is going to have a lot of say-so in the future of Brandon Hyde in Baltimore.
Well, my thing, Cordell, is when you get kicked out in the fifth, because one of the questions that we're talking about with Guerrero, that was in, what, the seventh or the eighth,
mm-hmm.
Okay, how involved is Hyder still in the game? You know, because it was kind of, Cordell, it was funny in one of those situations on TV. They say, yeah, that's Brandon Hyde's son, the bat boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he had been kicked out, and he's talking to, you know, the guy who's running the show right now. So is Brandon relaying that? The first thing I thought of, well, Brandon's telling him what to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know whose call is it. I guess do we have Bordy or anybody?
We got Bordy today, well, but Bordy, Freddie Gonzalez would be the one that's taken over once.
Right, but I mean, if he's taken over, is he really taking over? Who's making the decisions? Because Hyder's probably not far away.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to ask Bordy
for sure. And honestly, we're in a day where people are intentionally walking guys less and less. I mean, guys are pitching to these hitters that they probably shouldn't be pitching to.
Right, but I mean, Cordell, he makes a good point, because I mean, I was thinking about that too. I mean, there's two outs.
Mm-hmm.
You got their best hitter.
I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, we've had the same conversation about Aaron Judge at times when they faced him, and it's like, why
Toronto
are you pitching to him?
Walked him in the second.
And you know what's about to happen, and he's gone up there and done exactly what we all feared. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's a baseball thing as a whole these days. Teams are just reluctant to go to walk guys, intentionally at least, to get away from the hot hitter. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll continue to take your calls here after the break. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. That's next on The Fan. At 11 o'clock, Tony Pente from Orioles Hangout will join us to talk some Orioles baseball. Right now, let's get back to the phone lines. The lines are buzzing. Try to get to all of you guys before we get to the break. Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, you're on The Fan.
Man, I got a lot to say. Hope I can say it fast. First of all, I'm advocating for you to be on this midday show. The morning show got three guys. The afternoon show got three guys. Cordell, I'm advocating for you to be the third man on the Vinny and Haney show. Anyway, hey, the guy Harry made a good point. I ain't going to go through him. But I'm just going to say what Brandon Hyde just doesn't appear to be. Not going to say he isn't or not. He doesn't show me that he's tactical. He doesn't show me that he's strategic. Those are two words that I use for people who make in-game decisions. I mean, I can go to the Orioles dugout, make up a lineup, and tell people to go in and bat and do this and that. But it's situations in a game where you have to be tactical and strategical and do different things. I'm going to leave it at that. Y'all can think what you want. But here's my main point I wanted to say, y'all. The next time I hear a trade about Santana from anyone, the person should be tarred, feathered, and whipped. Because for the last 3 years, he's always the first one or the second one talk about being traded to get this and get that. Here this guy is doing everything every year. We talk good about him, but he's always the first one on the chopping block to trade. And another thing people need to realize, learn Spanish, because I guarantee he speaks Spanish. He is saying things that you don't understand, but he's saying to the people that understand Spanish, and he got a lot of choice words for a lot of y'all. I do speak Spanish. But anyway, take it easy, fellas.
Appreciate the call, Joe, and the kind words. And, yeah, I mean, Santander at this point, it's tough to imagine. I mean, with his contract situation, that's dead anyway. But for a while, he's right. He was one of the guys that would be brought up in trade talks, or, you know, at least on the outside, his name would be brought up whenever we thought about potential trade targets on the team. And I think a lot of it was due to his age and not knowing if the Orioles were going to commit that type of money to him long term, because we just hadn't seen it in a while with the Orioles, and they were still in the rebuild and they had all these young guys. So I don't know if anybody was necessarily putting him in the trade conversations because they didn't think he could play. I think it was more about the circumstance and what the view and the outlook was of the team. We just didn't know.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, I think people were saying, all right, we're not going to pay him. You know, right. Can we pay him next year? And then we have all these young guys. But what if you were going to play a young, I guess Kerstad would be playing right field if they had traded Santander?
Probably. Him, between him and I guess O'Hearn would be a part of that group as well. But yeah, that would kind of be what you're looking at.
Yeah, so that
and like one. I said, can you trust that Hyde is going to let these guys let Kerstad bat against lefties? I mean, Santander allows them to keep him in the lineup because he's the switch hitter. You take him out and now you have to put a lefty or a righty in there. I don't even know who the righty would be at this point, but you put a lefty like Kerstad in there. We haven't seen that Hyde is allowing these guys to bat against lefties. So what is he going to do? Hayes is gone. You know, is I don't know what his options would be. Let's go to Matt in Essex. Matt, you're on The Fan. Matt's gone. Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, you're on The Fan.
Vinny, Cordell, how y'all doing?
What's good up, man?
John. I'm kind of, I guess I have, you know, my notion for kind of where we're at a little bit. I mentioned it yesterday, but I feel like Hyder is kind of also going against teams that are having to play better because they were falling apart. And I think some of this is playoff-like practice that he's performing with these situations. It's all about being on time and situational baseball, and I think he's lightly practicing that with the way he's running things right now. Just a notion, though.
Yeah. Yeah, appreciate the call, Kevin. And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. It's a long season, you know. And yeah, there are going to be times where you're trying things out in preparation for later on in the year. It may not always be working.
Well, let me just say this. I mean, if you're trying it out for the playoffs, I'm not. If I'm in the playoffs, Couser and Holiday are a big reason right. I'm in the playoffs. Yeah. So they're not even in the picture for me to be,
Hopefully that the way that played out kind of lets them know to not do that in the playoffs, as if you needed to know that before. But, yeah, definitely now with two of your hottest bats, for sure. Let's go to Willie and Croft. And, Willie, you're on the fan.
Cordell, my man, and Vinny, what is happening?
What's going on?
Oh, man, just living life, loving life. Listen, just a little thing about Brandon Hyde. When he put in Mayo, the bases loaded a few games ago. Now, I never played at a high level, but I did play the game. I know what it's like. It was going through your head when that happened and you're being called and to put in a pressure situation, you're like, why me? Oh, my goodness. And there's something to be said about a manager. He had to have been thinking this may not turn out right. But there's something to be said about a manager that believes in you and is willing to take the hit for you. It did not go well, but I guarantee you the player never forgets that. And I think because Brandon Hyde has played the game, maybe he's too close at times, he leads with his heart and is willing to take the hit sometimes just to get a player to know that the manager believes in him. Because that can go a long way, maybe just not right away.
Did you listen to the press conference before the game yesterday? He didn't take any hits for any of those guys. He was making excuses. Well, the reason I pinch hit was, look at our stats. That pissed me off so much about Hyder that you got to take the hit. It's not wasn't my fault. This is why we did it. That was extremely disappointing in Hyder, because to me, all that is he's pointing the finger at other people instead of taking the hit himself. So I was really down on Hyder after listening to that last night.
I kind of feel what Willie's saying to a degree. I'm sure for Mayo, that kind of, if nothing else, it is saying that, my manager does believe in me. And maybe Hyde is just trying to light a spark. Obviously, I didn't agree with the substitution. I made that clear yesterday. But, for a guy who had no hits at the professional level to that point, for him to call him up off the bench cold in the biggest spot of the game, it does at least show that, all right, he's trying to give me a chance. He's trying to give me a chance to look like the hero. That's just for Mayo. Now, we're not looking at the Couser side of it, where he's just like, well, he's screwing me. He's taking the bat out of my hands, and now my hit streak's ended. I've been hot, so it's a double-edged sword. But, yeah, from the perspective of Kobe Mayo, it definitely at least instills some sort of confidence in you that your manager is trying to give you a chance. We got time for Daryl. Let's do it. Daryl, real quick. Daryl and Laurel, what's going on?
Hey, Cordell, Vinny, love you guys. Real quick, going back to the game Saturday when they played the Padres, Cedric Mullins got hot. He was in a slump. Every time he gets out of a slump, he benches the guy. He don't let him face left-handed batters. He showed he could hit left-handed batters, and the decision-making he makes, he's overmatched. Going back to last year. That's why they lost in the playoff last year. He was overmatched. That's all I got to say. You guys enjoy.
Appreciate the call, Daryl. Yeah, I mean, Bochy definitely ran circles around him last year in the postseason. There's no debate in that. I'm not going to sit here and say Brandon Hyde's the best manager in baseball. He's the best manager in the American League. That's not the case. I do like the guy. I think he's good for this clubhouse. I think it's something to be said for him not losing that clubhouse despite all those losing seasons. Look at what's going on in Chicago. We've seen it elsewhere. How many managers have we seen the Blue Jays fire here over the last few years? We may see it again at the end of this season. So I get everybody's frustration with Brandon Hyde, and I had some frustration for him yesterday, but I just think big picture, he's been able to keep this clubhouse together, and he gets the guys ready to play. His decision-making is questionable at best, for sure. And that's something he's going to clean up, because, again, I do think the outcome of this season is going to weigh big on his future in Baltimore. If they look as bad as they did in the postseason last year,
you're right,
Who knows? Honestly, who knows? Who knows what happened? Because your window is only but so big. It's nothing is a guarantee in sports. So we'll see how it goes. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Tony Pente from Orioles Hangout, talk some Orioles baseball with him. What are his feelings on Brandon Hyde? We'll ask him next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.